Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So let's finish out this hour by asking the question, who's got bragging rights?
Hi, this is James Brunson. I'm actually a soldier on Fort Knox. I remember I finished first in a race with my entire unit. There was a big space between me and the person who was behind me. And I remember turning around and I took a quote from the movie Troy and said, is there no one else? But I kind of, yelled it in triumph. And, you know, it got some laughs from some people. Some people clearly didn't like it, but I didn't care.
Now, James is both a guy and a confident, apparently, soldier in the U.S. Army. And according to social scientists, men may not have the right to brag, but it's easier for them to do it than for women. Here's Jesse Smith, an associate professor of psychology at Montana State University.
Research had already shown pretty robustly that men are not reluctant to talk about themselves and, in fact, will sometimes exaggerate and inflate things like their grade point average or how big that fish was that they caught.
Get out.
And whereas women will be publicly much more modest and humble. So that had been demonstrated before, and we wanted to figure out, can we fix it? Is there something we can do to help?
A way of fixing a problem so deeply ingrained in our gender identities? Well, Jessie Smith designed an experiment. She put two groups of women in a room and told them they were applying for a scholarship, a real $5,000 scholarship at MSU. One group thought they were writing the application for themselves. The other group thought they were writing for a friend. But then Professor Smith added a little twist to the experiment in the form of a strange, futuristic-looking, well, let's just let Professor Smith explain it.
Everybody walks into the lab, and we'd made this fantastic, very scary-looking black box. It's 3 feet tall. It's black felt. It has speakers and wires coming out of it. And it's always there in the middle of the room. We tell half of them that this box is a subliminal noise generator. And that it creates these noises. They're not going to be able to hear them, but that we're studying the effects of distraction on performance. And so we're going to play some distracting subliminal noises that we know will probably make them feel a little bit uncomfortable, cause some anxiety, just generally unpleasant sounds. But and that we would ask them questions about that at the end of the experiment to see how they felt and experienced that scary black box.
All right. So half of the people applying for the scholarship were told nothing except apply for the scholarship. The other half, randomly selected, were given this electronic, weird black box kind of distracting headwind, right?
That's right.
Now, what did you hope that would reveal for you as a social scientist?
So this is called the misattribution paradigm. And what we hypothesized would happen is that this black box is subliminal noise generator, which, by the way, let me be clear, is just a box. It does nothing.
Right.
It's fake.
I suspected that. I wasn't going to call you out, but I suspected that.
And so the idea is that if you can give people an external justification, an explanation for any anxiety or discomfort that they're feeling, that they'll blame that their experience that they're having that's negative. They'll say, oh, well, that comes from this black box. That must be why I feel uncomfortable. And instead of thinking, oh, I don't really like what I'm doing.
You actually are hypothesizing that this fake black box in the middle of the room is going to give permission to modest, normed, trained women to brag about themselves, because if they feel anxiety, they're going to blame it on the black box, not on the fact that they're doing nasty bragging that they shouldn't be doing.
That's right. That's right. The thing that's so incredibly powerful about this modesty norm is even when women themselves will say, absolutely no, I do not subscribe to this. This is ridiculous. It still feels uncomfortable to do it. And so if we can give women this external reason, this thing to blame for any discomfort that they're feeling, then it frees them up to not just do a good job in self-promoting and bragging about themselves, but to actually enjoy the experience.
All right. Now, that's the theory. What did you discover?
So we had these judges look at the essays that these women wrote, and the judges had no idea that there was a box in the room or who was told what. We just said, hey, read these scholarship essays. Here's the details on the scholarship and how much money should we give them. And the women who wrote an essay about themselves to apply for the scholarship, who were told nothing about this black box, they were awarded about $1,600 on average out of $5,000. The women who wrote the essay on behalf of themselves with the black box in the room to blame any discomfort were awarded $2,600 in scholarship money, so $1,000 more.
And what about the group that wrote on behalf of someone else?
They were awarded between $2,400 and $2,600 across both groups. So the black box in the room didn't hurt or help the people writing about somebody else at all. It did nothing.
But it does reveal that, in a sense, it negates the modesty inhibitor to the point that a woman who's in the room with the, you know, distractor basically writes as honestly and forthrightly and positively about themselves as they would write about a friend.
That's right. And that is incredibly important here, because the story is not that women can't write about themselves or brag about themselves or put their best foot forward. They absolutely can. And they can do it just as well as they can with writing about a friend.
Now, is it possible that you were driving once in your car and, you know, the radio reception isn't the best out there in Montana? Suddenly it got all sort of, you know, distracting on your radio, and that you realized, boom, your anxiety went away, and that's what gave you the idea for the black box?
So the idea for the black box comes from very classic social psychology literature called the misattribution paradigm, and it goes back to sleep anxiety, where they found that if you gave people who cannot fall asleep a pill that's really a sugar pill, but you don't tell them that, they take a pill that they think causes their heart to race and their breathing to increase. The insomniacs would take this pill, and then when they started feeling anxious and their heart starts racing and their breathing increases, they blamed the pill and fell asleep.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah. And so the idea is, how do you label your experience or your emotion?
I'm father to three girls, and all three of them brag. And the idea that this is not innate, I suspect, is something you'd go along with. What do you think happens to the girl who brags or who is motivated to put their best foot forward by the time they get to college?
There's really good research called the backlash effect that finds that women who do self-promote and brag and put their best foot forward, if you say the same accomplishment, but you change the gender of the person saying it, and they've done this in many studies, she's not liked. Both men and women don't like her. They don't want to be friends with her. They think she's smart, but they do not want to be her friend, and they do not want to allocate resources and rewards to her. So in some ways, women are smart enough to have figured out over time that when they violate the modesty norm, it doesn't feel good, and people aren't going to respond favorably to them.
What tangible consequence do you think from your research would help women suppress this suppressor in an actual job interview situation?
It's up to educators and employers to set the situation up in a way that really normalizes and makes self-promoting safe. And in doing that, by instead of saying, tell us, you know, about the great work that you've done, to say, please tell us the five big projects that you completed this year. So making it very specific and clear and what you're looking for, impetus must come from the employer and the educator to go and look for the outstanding things that the women in their business is doing.
Jesse Smith, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jesse Smith is an associate professor of psychology at Montana State University.